Going to read on Luke 18 this morning, and I have a video clip that I'm not sure if I will show it anyway, but I'll have it kind of ready. Says I'm mirroring, but it's not. There it is. Okay. Okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you have given us. We thank you for your mercies. Lord, we come before you and we want to express our words with sincere hearts. All the things that we say, the good things that we say about you, Lord, we want to express them from our hearts and not just from our lips. And as we speak, as I speak this morning, Lord, I pray that you help me, that you guide my words and my thoughts, and that we would all be instructed in your word. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Okay, Luke chapter 18. Before we start reading chapter 18, we will kind of summarize what we said in chapter 17, where one of the last paragraphs of chapter 17 is when the Lord speaks the story of those lepers that they cried out to the Lord from a distance. 10 lepers, those people who had been, because of their disease, they had to be separated from the rest of the people, alienated. And one of them was a Samaritan. And when they asked the Lord for healing, he said, go and present yourselves to the priest. And as they were going, the one who was a Samaritan saw that he had been healed, and he returned to give praise to the Lord. And the Lord said, were there not 10 that were healed? Where are the other 9? And one of them, and the one who came, was a Samaritan, a guy who did not have even a priesthood established in the sense of the priesthood of Aaron. They were people who had been mixed. Their religion was pagan religion combined with all sorts of things, but he was the one who came to give thanks. And what Luke is trying to tell us here is that in the Lord coming here, he started to preach the kingdom of God, and people were expecting the king to come, the Messiah. But they didn't see that in Christ. However, when this leper saw what had happened and what had been told about Jesus, he did not have any problem in making the connection. This is called the Son of David. And this man is doing these things. And he saw his skin. He is healed. He made the connection and said, this is the Son of God. And we see that in the first advent of the Lord Jesus, he did not come and had all the protocols that were due to a king. He was unknown, a guy from Nazareth. However, there were many signs that pointed and testified of the authenticity of Jesus Christ as being the king, being the Messiah of God. Some people totally missed it. Some people refused to see it willingly, in spite of all the signs that were there. But this leper from Samaria saw it and got it, recognized it, and he was also saved spiritually. In relation to this, I have a video clip that I found. It's a true story, and I'm not trying to mock the people, but just to kind of illustrate the tragedy there is in the material sense. But if we can transpose it to the spiritual sense, the tragedy is much bigger. So I'll see if it plays. Okay. I'm going to try to not put volume in it, just watch the video. But there is hope. That's all there is. And the point is that this is true. So much so that they created a website about this bridge. It's in the city of Durham in North Carolina. And what they say is that there are signs all over the place. All over the place. It says, be careful. If your truck is too tall, taller than 11 foot 8 inches, they raised it a little bit, don't try because you're going to raise the roof of your truck. But it happens at least once a month, in spite of the signs all over the place. And it's very sad. Can you believe there are tons of cases displayed there. Motorhomes that are too tall, some just go and scrape the roof of their trucks. if you're curious, you can go look at that. But and this is what happened. In spite of all the pointers that were showing that Jesus Christ is none other than the Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Some people, as we see in the video, some looked at it, considered it, and said, I'm going anyway. There are ways that to people seem right, but the end, Proverbs says, is the way of death. The end is death. It is very sad. So with that, we see that Luke is talking about the Lord going from Galilee to Jerusalem. And as we said before, the Lord went many times to Jerusalem, but here he is on a trip, a special trip. That's when we say, when we hear on the news that there is a race to the White House, okay? There are people who are competing to get to the White House. Some of them have already been there, but not as presidents. But they are on a race to the White House. Or for you who like sports, you know the teams in football, they are on a race to Glendale in Arizona, okay? Super Bowl will be played there. Some of them have already played there. But there is a specific moment when they want to be there. So the Lord is on the way to Jerusalem. Why is that? Because going through Jerusalem is part of the protocol for him to be anointed in a way that everyone will see who he is. And that's the second coming. Some people didn't see the Lord when he was here as a king in the spiritual stage. But the Lord says that we should not underestimate the fact that he will come in a second phase when everyone will see him as he is. No one will miss him. No one. There will be no need for anyone to go tell a friend or a neighbor and say, do you know what happened? No, everyone will see him. As a lightning goes from one side to the other, everyone sees, and it'll happen in the future when the Lord comes. And then we begin reading in verse 18 when he says, Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet, because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the righteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? He already told them, and kind of in verse 7, in chapter 17, Luke puts back to back the first coming, the spiritual coming of the king, of the kingdom, when the king was there in person, and then the second coming, when he will come with a rod of iron to apply justice. But in the meantime, he says, you should not lose heart, meaning that there is a span of time there, a time for the believers to serve the Lord. And he said, during this time, you should not lose heart. And why should a believer lose heart? Praying. And he gives the example of this widow that as it was happening in Israel, the widows were oppressed. But this one kept coming to the judge time after time and said, give me legal protection. I need to be defended from my opponent. And again, until the judge says, I have to do something for this widow because she is going to wear me out. Okay? And so the Lord said, how much more will your Father in heaven bring justice for you and put things right? The wrongs have been done to you, he will put them right. Much better than that judge, because that judge was, he didn't respect God or man. He didn't care. And again, why would a believer lose heart and stop praying? As Charlie was saying, okay, what do we see? We see from the very beginning, we see infiltration in the church. We see that pretty much a lot of churches have been hijacked by Satan. Apostasy is rampant. We don't know what people believe. And in society, what do we see? Immorality, moral behavior. We have gotten to a point that we don't know. Sometimes it's hard to say, is there anything wrong with anything? Where are we? And we see him cry out to the Lord, Lord. And sometimes we see miracles. The Lord, like in the case of Ananias and Sapphira, he brings justice and he puts wrong right immediately. But for the most part, what is the tendency of the churches? Where are we? Why am I going to pray anyway? Am I seeing people being saved? Hardly anyone. We go and tell people. And the laws are being written all the time, farther and farther from the law of the Lord. There are laws. Good for what? Are people getting any better now? They are not. And from time to time, we see believers that have hard persecution. We see that. Sometimes we are very encouraged. There was a brother who was in prison in Turkey for a while, and we prayed. And I think the whole nation was praying, and all over the world, believers were praying, and he was freed. Praise the Lord for that. But for the most part, you come to the prayer meetings here. How many of us are here? Why have we lost heart? Well, it's kind of natural. The Lord says it's natural. But be like the widow. We need to pray all the more when we see the circumstances getting worse and worse. And as we will see, the examples that the Lord gives later on, we have pointers. We have examples. And we should not quit trusting in the Lord. He has given us enough evidence, and we should not do what the drivers do that with their trucks, smashing on that bridge. And then he continues on and says, in verse 9, and he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. We heard about it this morning when we heard Larry that says that it's easy to see the wrong, the bad things that other people do, right? And we have a case here. Who is the righteous? Who is the unjust? Who is the just? Verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, if you had in a ballot these two individuals, who would you vote for? I would vote for the Pharisee. I think I would, no question. Who wants to have a tax collector, traitor, who is taking the money to make a profit and then pass it to my enemies? I don't want that tax collector, not even as my neighbor. But this one, the Pharisee, went to the Lord with his own package, saying, this is who I am, Lord. And we do that too, sadly. When we pray, sometimes we come to the Lord based on our own merits. When we pray for injustice to be done right, for wrongs to be done right, sometimes we think that we are always the innocent party in the equation. And is it true all the time? We need to come to the Lord with an open heart. Not like this Pharisee who went home justified, the publican, the tax gatherer. He's the one who was forgiven, but not the Pharisee. He went with his own merit, and he stayed in his sins. Now the Lord continues and says, or Luke, rather, he continues and says, verse 15, and they were bringing even their babies to him so that he would touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they began rebuking them. But Jesus called for them, saying, permit the children to come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. In another version, in another gospel, it says that the Lord was indignant because they were not permitting the children to come to the Lord. And why is that? Well, children, they have no malice. Children receive everything from their parents. And they are not questioning. They are not scheming in their minds how much merit they have to receive their food, to be clean, to be bathed, to be taken care of all the time. They are not argumenting. They just take it gratefully most of the time. Until they start to grow, they start to reject the food and start to, you know, make their argument. But this one says they just take it. And that's the message. The message, the gift of salvation is to be taken. It's not to make elaborations of how much you deserve it. Just take it. Furthermore, children trust their parents. God had been showing the people of Israel how much he cares for them. When Joshua was about to die, he told the people of Israel, all the world, the good words that the Lord has said to us, have been fulfilled. Not one of them has failed. That was the testimony of Joshua. The good God had taken care of them. I remember when Olivia was about to get her first vaccine, the mother prepared her and said, you know, this is going to hurt a little. She needed to be straightforward with her and not lie to her and say, no, it's not gonna hurt. You're going to get candy afterward. No, it's going to hurt. And I don't know why, but she never cried. Even to this point, he gives herself shots sometimes. Needles are a scary thing. But parents usually don't lie to their children. And there were parents bringing them to the Lord Jesus to be blessed. God the Father is leading them to Jesus. And this is what happened with the lepers. We don't think that the lepers were some ungrateful people. They probably were very grateful. And they went to the priest and told about what had been done to them, gratefully. But the point is, they needed to come to Jesus. There's no other way. Come to Jesus. The babies are being brought to Jesus. And the Lord was indignant because the disciples thought that they were a second or third class of people. A brother makes a comment about this and says that when we are new believers, we are like babies and we treat others like babies and we behave like that. But when we begin to work in the work of the Lord, we start to make differences. We start to think that some people are more worthy to come to the Lord because they would give more to the Lord. And it's true. We think, if Sir so-and-so would come to the Lord, he would be so good. Or if Mrs. Something would come to the Lord, would be so good. But that person, what will she bring to the Lord? What will he bring to the Lord? We make those differences, and it's hard, it's sad. We shouldn't be like that. Let the babies come to me. The babies come to me. Okay. Verse 18. Then there comes a ruler. A ruler questioned him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasures in heaven. Treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. We can see this because we have been reading this all the time. We see what the attitude of this young man was. He went to the Lord as some tourist that goes to a souvenir shop to have one more thing for his collection, something that he will probably not pay attention when he goes home. Just throw it there. Because he has money, he can have this other thing. He thinks he can do everything, which is the kind of normal attitude for rich people. They can have anything, everything. They can dictate things. And he comes flattering the Lord and says, good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Well, the Lord was not going to take that lightly and says, why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? There's only one good, and it's God. Logically, if you call me good, and there's only one good, which is God, then you're saying that I am God. Therefore, you should obey me. But when he asked him to go sell everything, he did not do that. So his phrase was just a polite approach. Good teacher. He did not come with a sincere heart. It's interesting to me what the people said in verse 26. They who heard it said, then who can be saved? Okay, that's normal. Rich people can get anything, right? And if this guy cannot get what he wants, who can be saved? How can I be saved? If the rich guy cannot get it, then there's not a chance for me. Okay? But he said, the things that are impossible with people are possible with God. I love it. This morning we started with this. With God, all things are possible. And we see it later. And we have seen it. What the Lord can do. Impossible things. And what is the, to me, I was going to read this morning Isaiah 65, verse 25, where it says that in the millennium, the lion will be together with the sheep, and they will grass together. They will eat grass together. How is that possible? But how is it possible in the first time that the lion quit eating grass to eat meat and rotten things? And now if you give him a bunch of grass, the lion may die of starvation. But at that, who caused that? Sin did. How is it possible for me to live all my life having thoughts of all filthiness, all sorts of filthiness, envy, malice, covetousness, adulteries, murdering? All of those things are in me. How did it happen? God did not make me that way. It's the power of sin. But with God, all things are possible. He will undo that. He has saved me from the power of sin. At this point, as a believer, I have the option to sin or not to sin. But there will be a stage when I will not be enticed by sin. It's like giving grass to a lion. He's not going to pay attention to that. A new nature he has given me. And one day this all nasty nature will be wiped out from me. And I will be with the Lord forever. And I will be eyes to admire the Lord, to worship Him forever and ever and ever. With God, all things are possible. And then Peter said, I don't know. I'll probably have to stop here because there's a lot more to go. So we'll stop here. Father, we thank you for what your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, did for us. Even though sin is so big, so great, your grace is much, much bigger than that. And one day, Lord, this body of sin will be done away with. Thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, who did all things well. We pray, Father, that as we get away from this place, we continue striving to please you in our walking with you. In Jesus' name, amen.